Okay. So last week we had an opportunity to discuss the halachos of the 3 weeks, and as I pointed out then, there are major there are major differences between the halachos of the 3 weeks and the halachos of the 9 days. And very often people confuse these things and throw them all together into one unit, and it's important to realize what's usher when. And it's also important to realize what's usher as a din, what's only usher as a minhag, etc. One thing I didn't mention in the 3 weeks here that I just actually added to the essay that's on the website, I don't think I spoke about going swimming during the 3 weeks. There is this perception out there that going swimming during the 3 weeks is problematic, or is actually in some way. I know my son's camp, and there was any swimming at all during the 3 weeks. But Sternbach has a tshuva, and someone asked him if it's mutter to go swimming during the 3 weeks, and he says, Chazal never goes against it, and we don't make gzeiros on our own, so he doesn't understand where one would come up with such a gzeiros that he can't go swimming during the 3 weeks. But we will see soon there's plenty of reason to assume that it's us during the 9 days. But then in 3 weeks, he couldn't understand what the reason would be. So he suggested that in general, it's not advised for a person to put themselves in a dangerous situation at all during the 3 weeks. So he suggested that maybe if you're swimming in very deep waters or you're swimming in the ocean where there's a lot of waves, maybe in such a case where it could potentially be a dangerous situation, maybe then not to go swimming during 3 weeks. But other than that, we would assume that going swimming during 3 weeks is permissible. During the 9 days, we'll soon see there's a very strong reason. So there are a couple of reasons to assume that it should be usher to do during the 9 days. Before we get into the actual halakha in the 9 days, let's just go through very quickly where this comes from. This halakha of minhagi avelus during the 9 days. So the only source really in Shas is Gemara Maseches Tainis and Daf Chaf Tes. It's really the Mishnah Maseches Tainis, and the Gemara expounds on it a little bit. I didn't give the whole passage of the Gemara. We're going to see pieces of it that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch as we go. But the primary line of the Mishnah that is the source for everything is Misha Nichnas Av Mema'at in B'Simcha. That when Chodesh Av arrived, so we're Mema'at B'Simcha, we lessen our level of Simcha. Amar Yud Rebbe Shmuel Bar Shilus B'Shmei D'Rav, and this is the only, there's a song made out of the other line, but this does not appear in the Mishnah, nor does it appear in anywhere else in the context of Purim itself, but rather Kishem Shemisha Nechlas Adar, Madrin B'Simcha, Kach Misha Nechlas Adar, Madrin B'Simcha. The Gemara makes a comment that just like we say we have less Simcha when Chodesh Av arrives, we also increase our Simcha for Chodesh Adar. So that's the Gemara makes a clear connection between Chodesh Av and Chodesh Adar. They're two sides of the same. They're supposed to mirror each other, obviously in some way. But where it remains unclear is in what way exactly they mirror each other. And it's somewhat instructive to figure out exactly how they mirror each other. So the first point to make is that Rashi on that Gemara is one of a fairly famous Rashi, because it's a very difficult to understand Rashi. I think we pointed it out in previous shiurim. Rashi comments, why Misha Nichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha? He's made Simcha Hayu Li Yisrael Purim U'Pesach. Right? Rashi comments that these are days of joy for Klal Yisrael. Misha Nichnas Adar is days of joy for Klal Yisrael, Purim and Pesach. So that Rashi on its own is very difficult to understand what Pesach has to do with Misha Nichnas Adar. Obviously Pesach is in Chodesh Nisan. It may be related to the halakha of Sholin Kedoshin Lamed Yom Kodem. It may hold that 30 days before Pesach it already has a din of a Shtik Pesach in some way that is considered a little bit of a Pesach and may have something to do with that. Others are prone to suggest different things. But says the Sfasemes, Lule Divrei Rashi, says that Rashi not said that it has to do with Purim and Pesach. So he thinks that Misha Nichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha has nothing to do with Yom Tov, nothing to do with Purim, nothing to do with Pesach. It's meant to mirror Chodesh Av. It's meant to show the flip side of Chodesh Av. Why are we mimatzim B'Simcha in Chodesh Av? Because there was a korban of the Beit HaMikdash. There were no korbanos. Korbanos are gone in Chodesh Av. Everything is destroyed. Why are we so happy in Chodesh Adar? He says, because what happens in Chodesh Adar? We remain Pesach Shkolim at the beginning of Chodesh Adar. Why? Because that's when we're Mashmi and Al Shkolim. That's when we publicize that everyone's trying to bring money to the Beit HaMikdash to buy new Korbanos. So it's the way of establishing, of bringing karbanos, of being able to continue the avoda, of bringing karbanos, the rejuvenation of the avoda, the new beginning of the avoda. That's the celebration of Misha Nicholas Adam Marv and the Simcha. I thought it was a beautiful thought, because clearly they mirror each other, and have not been for Rashi's chat. Perhaps this fits in even better with the exact lashon, because you see this concept of Misha Nicholas Adam doesn't really come up in the context of Purim. It comes up in the context of Misha Nicholas Adam, the Marv and the Simcha. That's where the Gemara pointed out. So perhaps that's perhaps the pshat. In terms of the halakhic significance of this, the Chassam Sofer has a fairly well-known tshuva where he deals with a clear problem in Shulchan Aruch from the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both quote La Halacha, I believe they both quote, at least Shulchan Aruch does, Misha Nichas Ad Nematin the Simcha, yet it does not quote Misha Nichas Adar Marvin the Simcha. Now if they're both two sides of the same coin, if they're supposed to be similar ideas, why is it that Misha Nichas Ad Nematin the Simcha will be quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Misha Nichas Adar Marvin the Simcha is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch? So Chassam Sofer has two suggestions. First suggestion he has is what may be Nogei L'maitza. So Sofer points out that what does it mean Mima'at and the Simcha? So there are two different minhagim of what exactly happens when Misha Nichas Av. What do we do differently? Right, we discussed this in the past. What are the two different minhagim? There's the minhag of Svardim, who follow the psak of the Mechaber, that what we do during the 3 weeks, they do Misha Nichas Av, they do during the 9 days, which essentially just says, don't make binyanim shal simcha. Don't do excessively joyous activities. Doesn't have any nihugei avelus per se, but don't do excessively joyous things, right? Whereas our minhagim, we already take it to the next level, Misha Nichas Av. Right. We already have certain minhugei avelus. So says the Chassam Sofer, perhaps if you assume that you have minhugei avelus, so you can understand the flip side of that would be to specifically not to, let's say we have minhagei avelus, but the flip side would be to not have to stay in Misha Nichas Av, right? To understand an opposite to avelus, but an opposite to excessive joy, to limiting excessive joy, meaning that we don't do certain things that involve excessive joy during the Shabbat. So what's the opposite? It's whatever we do the rest of the year. We do things with excessive joy. We're allowed to build a binyan shel simcha. We're allowed to have these activities that involve excessive joy. So says the Chassam Sofer, maybe that's the pshat. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha, because there's a halachic nachtamina to it. Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha, don't do those things that involve excessive joy. Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha doesn't really mean anything. It's just that you can do those things that have excessive joy, and that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins. We in paskin that Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha involves avelus. So maybe for us, Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha actually means a little more. If we paskin that there's avelus in Misha Nichas Av Mematin the simcha, so then we should paskin that in Adar there should be halachos of perhaps no hesped, etc., that would mirror the minhag avelus of Chodesh Av. Then at some surface suggests a different pshat. What's why is it that Shulchan Aruch quotes Misha Nichas Av but not Misha Nichas Adar? And he says perhaps this will explain that strange Rashi in the Sefer Tainus as well. The Rashi that talks about Misha Nichas Adar being, you may simcha the Yisrael Purim or Pesach. So some surface explains that Misha Nichas Av, Nema'atim B'simcha, mean there are two ways that one can look at a time of particular joy for Klal Yisrael or a time of particular sadness for Klal Yisrael. One can say that the mazel of Klal Yisrael is good or bad, depending on the time, is either good in Av or bad in Av. The mazel of Klal Yisrael suffers a bit, and where it's just a time of bad luck. Or one can say, no, there's nothing to do with our mazel, ain't mazel of Yisrael. That's to do with the mazel of the Yom HaTa'olam with whom we interact. And some Sofer points out that even though we paskin Ein Mazel Yisrael, we do paskin that we are choshesh for certain things once they're mukhza. Once we see a trend developing, so we have to be choshesh, even though Ein Mazel Yisrael. So he says, when it comes to Misha Nichas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha, so we paskin Ein Mazel Yisrael, so it's not our bad mazel, but it's very likely that the mazel of Yilma Sa'olam takes a turn upward during Av. That's why the Gemara says, what's the Nachamina, what's the halacha that applies to Misha Nichas Av? Don't go to a din Torah with a non-Jew, because his mazel is up. It's not because we have mazel. We don't have a mazel. Mishanichlas Adar Margulis Simcha, though. What are you going to say, that the Umos Olam's Mazel is down in the dust? That's not true. Mishanichlas Adar Margulis Simcha, it's only the Mazel of a Malek that's down. It's not all the Umos Olam that's down. So we're in Mazel Yisrael, so why should it be the Mishanichlas Adar Margulis Simcha? But Rashi will say that no, what Rashi would pass in Allah Lamaisa Mishanichlas Adar Margulis Simcha, because he will say that you have a Chazaka that is Simcha. Mishnah because that's the day that leads into Purim and it leads to Pesach. It's Muktzah in both of them as a season of joy for Klal Yisrael. Once it's Muktzah at that time, so then we no longer say Ein Mazel Yisrael, meaning obviously understanding it as the beginning of something that continues into times of multiple smachos. Now that's assuming that a Chazak is established with two times, that's already a different shiur. Now just to get into the halakha l'maisa now, that was just by way of introduction. In terms of halakha l'maisa, so remember we discussed last week the issue of shaving during the 3 weeks. And I pointed out at that time that the Shulchan Aruch says that there's an issue of tisparas, there's an issue to take a haircut during the 3 weeks. And I also pointed out that Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says that if you're going to lose your parnasa, you're not going to be passed over for promotion, or you may even get fired. So then a person is allowed to shave; they don't have to lose all their parnasa for a minhag. However, we pointed out that there are many jobs where you're not really going to lose your parnasa; you're just going to be embarrassed. And Rav Moshe held that if you're embarrassed, it's no big deal. So you'll be embarrassed. It's worth a little bit of embarrassment. Kedai l'chorban habayis for a little bit of embarrassment. So I was trying to find what exactly is the chula that everyone is summing on, that so many people seem to shave regardless of what their profession is, and just how dangerous it is for them to show up to the office with a spear beer, with a 3 week spear. So it seems that, as I had said, that the majority opinion of the postman is that it's usher for the entire 3 week period, and following along lines of Ramosha, only with that heter for someone who may lose a job. The Soloveitchik, though, had a different sheet. The Soloveitchik held that, and this is a tremendous shear that he developed. It's printed in English, actually, in the book Out of the Whirlwind, a collection of Rav Soloveitchik's essays on Avelos and Times of Korban. So it's mostly philosophical work, but he has one essay in there called Avelos Yeshana and Avelos Chadash, I think, that is pretty much a Lamed Shashir, where he describes what we're doing, why there's this change from the 3 weeks to the 9 days to Shmur Shachal Tishvav to Tishvav itself. And he basically says, although he alters it a little bit, depending on when the Gashmur is going to expand, but he basically says, the basic idea is that for us, the 3 weeks have a din of Yud Beis Chodesh. The Avelos that a person would have for 12 months after losing a parent, the Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, all of the halakos of Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh apply during the 3 weeks. The Avelos that we have, Mishanichnas Av, when Rosh Chodesh Av comes, that's the Avelos of a Shloshim. It becomes intensified a little bit, and we then have the Avelos of Shloshim. So Soloveitchik said, very simply, what's the halakha by Yud Beis Chodesh? What is a person allowed to shave or take a haircut during the Yud Beis Chodesh? The halakha is Mishayidru Bokadero, that when a person says that you look disgusting, you're allowed to go take a haircut. So, and Soloveitchik pointed out that if the 3 weeks has a din of Yud Beis Chodesh, so as soon as you leave for a couple of days, you leave it going a little scruffy, so right then you're allowed to take it, allowed to shave, and then you can shave every day thereafter, because it's already Yud Beis Chodesh. However, once you enter the 9 days, as I think I pointed out last week, and I confirmed this with Rosh Hashanah this evening, once you enter the 9 days, according to Soloveitchik, you can't shave. That's already a din of Shloshim Yom. It doesn't matter Yud Beis Chodesh. So if Soloveitchik's not a heter either Lechora during this time period. And obviously there were a few issues in the shiur that I was misufik about this evening, and I never really heard shiurim on this topic. It's just what I saw in the book. So my father, who's normally here this year, is on a plane right now coming back from Israel. And he called me from the airport to tell me when his plane is going to arrive. It was supposed to come in the morning, but they were offering free tickets. If you take a later plane, then he's not going to pass up anything free. So he took the free tickets, and his plane's coming in the afternoon. And he says to me, oh, by the way, I'm not the only one that took the free tickets. Rav Schechter and Rebbetzin Schechter are on my plane. They also took the free tickets, so we're flying together on Delta instead of LL. So I said, oh, you have Rav Schechter on the plane. Do me a favor. Just, I don't really need it for this year tonight. I'll get through this year tonight without being going to... But just, if you have a chance, can you ask him a few different issues for me that I wanted to clarify beforehand? And this is what a father does for his son. I hang up. He says, yeah, sure, I'll speak to him sometime over the flight. 5 minutes later, I don't know what happened. My wife answered the phone, said, Rashad is on the phone for you. So Shepard calls after my father's cell phone on the plane before they had taken off, and I had asked him about the shaving of Rav Soloveitchik when in fact told himself to shave during the 9 days, and he said absolutely Rav Soloveitchik held himself to shave during the 9 days. He said, but I don't think so, and then we broke up a little bit. I couldn't hear what he said, and he said, so I shave on Fridays during the 9 days. So I don't know why. I'll try to find out next time I speak to him. Rav Shepard will be allowed to shave on Fridays. During the 9 days of Daniel, he asked me about if you shave during the week, so should you be allowed to shave Friday also? So all the more reason that perhaps you should be allowed to shave, or specifically should shave, on Friday. A few other issues that he also clarified for me, we'll get to a little bit later. So I tried to divide the category into different categories, what the Yisurim are. So there's the general category of activities that involve excessive pleasure and excessive joy that become usher during the 9 days. The halakha in Shulchan Aruch is that you're not allowed to buy new clothing during the 9 days. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out there's no magic to clothing, it's not allowed after the clothing, but any sort of new kli that you make in Kiryum Shel Simcha, where you're happy over the purchase, is offered to do during the 9 days. Now we pointed out that's in contrast to the 3 weeks, where in 3 weeks there's no issue of buying something nice, the issue is only having to make a shafiyam. You don't make a shafiyano during 3 weeks, but if you could buy something nice, for instance, with Moshe Shita, that you buy a family car, I had the shiloh this week, someone asked me about it. If you could buy a family car during the 3 weeks, the halacha is yes, because since it's a family car, the bracha is hatov ha'mesid, and therefore it's mutter to buy. However, when it comes to the 9 days, it's usher to buy anything that gives the person a lot of simcha. So, for instance, Rav Moshe was asked by his son, Rav David, in the tshuva, Rav Moshe was asked about buying a bookcase. Someone built a brand new bookcase, and they want to bring it into their home during the 9 days. Rav Moshe said no, because I think the person a certain level of simcha to have a nice new piece of furniture. He didn't think that it should be permitted. Window treatments that aren't functional, that are only for joy, things like that, are also usher during the 9 days. But let's say it's something that you need for functioning, just to keep your house running, then, and yours broke down, whatever it is, your fridge broke, so you can buy a new fridge, obviously. That's not a purchase of simcha. Adarabi, you wish your old fridge didn't break, and you wouldn't have to lay out for whatever it is, whatever it costs to buy a new fridge. Right, so that, the example was given by some of the posting is a washing machine, although that's a little tricky, because we can't really use it during the 9 days. Well, let's say you have little children, small children, during the 9 days, so you can buy a new washing machine as well. But most of that, what about an engagement ring? So you buy an engagement ring during the 9 days, so not no day for most of us, but Rav Moshe points out that the person asked Rav Moshe, can you buy it, as a purchase, and also what bracha to make on it if you do buy it. I mean, generally when you buy when you make a major purchase, there's either a bracha of shafiyan or a tova mezid. So Rav Moshe writes, it's in source number 12, he writes, the Inyan she'elatko nechshav kniyach hatabah she'mosam l'tala b'shav shidufim k'davar shel simcha she'yesh lo'asar ben Rosh Chodesh Av l'tisha b'av, regarding that which you asked about buying an engagement ring during 9 days, the emes inu nechol mitzvah hatabah she'u makim l'makim shel simcha. That's considered doing business of simcha. So that you shouldn't do. However, he says, if you're going to be choshesh for hefzid, if you're afraid that if you don't buy it now, it's going to go up in price a significant amount, and you have a good deal that presents itself to you now, then perhaps you can buy it. In terms of the bracha, he says, there are two brachas, and this I never really knew. When I got engaged, I think I mentioned the story, I called the shefter, and I asked him, what bracha my then Kala, now wife, should make on the engagement ring. I mean, whether she should make it, I didn't ask before, I said, should she make a shafiyanu on the engagement ring? He said, no, you don't make a shafiyanu. She doesn't make a shafiyanu. She makes hatov ha'mesid, because when she buys it, when she gets it, rather, when she takes it, I didn't make a paper, when she gets it, it's not only a joyous moment for her, it's a joyous moment for you as well. So it's more than one person that's experiencing the simcha, so the bracha is hatov ha'mesid. However, the shafiyanu is only when it's one person, when it's an individual simcha. So Rav Moshe also makes that same argument. Rav Moshe adds something else to it. And Moshe says, yeah, but that's when you give it to her. What about when you buy it? When the chassan buys it, he has to make a shekhianu. Because for him, at that point, she doesn't know when she's getting it, she wasn't there. At that point, it's his simcha to buy it, meaning he views it as two transactions. I always thought it's really one transaction, which just sort of goes through him, but it's really bought for her. But Rav Moshe views it as two different transactions, and therefore, shekhianu, when he buys it, that's what I make it when he gives it to her. So interesting thing, but in terms of halacha l'maaseh, so during the 9 days, Rav Moshe discourages it. Now, what about home renovations? This comes up all the time. I guess he shows it all the time. With a painter in the house, or he started beforehand, or he said he can only come this week, things like that. So the Shulchan Aruch in Tachkuf Nalalus is days, in source number 13, says that we mat in the matzah u'b'matzah u'b'binyan shal simcha. We don't do a binyan shal simcha. And the Mishnah Brura adds in source number 14, v'lo'atim kol binyan shein sarit lo l'dirasa. Any sort of binyan that you don't really need, but right now, you're just doing laharvata bi'alma to make things nicer, that you shouldn't do. However, the Mishnah Brura points out that when you hire a contractor, you don't tell him, well, you got to come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He comes, he's hiring for the job, and he comes for whenever he comes, whenever he's able to get it done. Right? He comes whenever he's able to, he comes whenever he's able to get the job done. So when you hire the contractor and he decides to come on his own during the 9 days, the Mishnah Brura says that later at him is not up. So he says you should try to discourage him. You should try to say, I prefer if you don't come during this time. But, you don't have to try any more than that. It's not up. But to ask them to come and do something specifically during that time, that would be problematic. So you can ask them beforehand and tell them just get it done, and they choose on their own when to do it, then you can allow them in the house. If they don't listen when you say, I just prefer it, if it's convenient for you to work around the 9 days, and it actually, and it's not convenient for them, so you can let them in the house, but you can't ask them to come during the 9 days. Now, Moshe writes, now when it comes to wallpaper and painting that's being done in the house, Moshe adds that if it's already started, you can finish it prior to Shabbos Kazon. Right, meaning as long as he says, if you look in source number 15, he says, "Linyan Ligmar had bakas on the yarel to salim to finish the attaching the wallpaper to the wall." Afshe imdaza iser baru. Granted, there's no real iser. Af the shvur shachal kishavav the tocha. Nikol makom yesh lahachmir sheyigmaru kodem Shabbos kazon. So the shvur not going to try to make sure they finish it up before Shabbos kazon. V'lo yatsu the shvur shachal kishavav the tocha. He says you can let it finish during the 9 days, not to allow it to finish during the Shavua, Shechal V'Tishva, during the week that Tishva comes out. Now, if you need a repair, so that's not called a Binyan Shel Simcha. The roof caves in and you need to fix it. If something else breaks, that's a Shulchan Aruch's Beferish. If the kosel is leaning to one side or it's about to fall down, so the Shulchan Aruch says Beferish. You're allowed to rebuild it in such a circumstance. If something needs to be repaired, certainly that's not called a Binyan Shel Simcha, and that would be Mutter. The next issue is the issue of eating meat and drinking wine during the 9 days. And this also is Mufurish and Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in source number 20, Yesh Nogim Shalolat Havasa V'Shalolishnos Yayin V'Shabasin. There are people that have the minhag not to eat meat or drink wine during this week, and again, whatever the Shulchan Aruch says during the week of Tisha B'Av, for us, Ashkenazim, that translates to the entire 9 days. And Shulchan Aruch himself says, Yesh Masikim Rosh Chodesh Adatainis, and then he says, Yesh Masikim Yesh Dari Batamis. Don't even stop eating meat already on Shavuot Batamis. Thankfully, we don't do that, but for the 9 days, we do stop eating meat, and we stop drinking wine as well. The Ramah adds in Seif Yud, in the next chapter, talks about drinking wine, that how do you make Havdalah if you don't drink wine? And remember the Havdalah Shirim, we pointed out that really the Chassidim is supposed to make Havdalah and wine, against the common misconception that orange juice or any other drink is just as good. It's not just as good. Wine is the Ikar HaDin, you're supposed to make Havdalah and wine or grape juice. So the Ramah adds, what do you do? What are you going to do this Shabbos? What's on Shabbos? You can make Havdalah, there's going to be wine. What are you going to do? So the Ramah says, Noradin lahachmir shalol lishtas yayin bibir chamagod below the Havdalah. The minute it's to be matmir, not to drink the wine during for benching or for Havdalah, elo mosu latino. The Ramah says, there's a child that's awake, you give it to the child and let the child drink it. However, most of us, this Masai Shabbos, you know, it's going to be pretty late for me around 9 o'clock when we're making a fella, so there's not going to be a child that's awake, so he says, well, nothing, to let the teenos mutabats malishlos abdallah. But it happens to be, if there's no child there, you can drink the wine yourself. Meaning for abdallah, where you're allowed to drink the abdallah wine. Now the question is, what this sort of catapults us into is a discussion of what halakha do children have in relation to the drinking wine and eating meat prohibitions. And drinking wine is generally not a problem. You're not going to worry about your kids drinking wine for 9 days. But what about eating meat? Can you feed kids, let's say you have a child who doesn't eat that much, and the only thing the kid likes is chicken cutlet. That's all he's going to eat. So can you feed the kid chicken cutlet, or maybe even if you have children who do like other things, but you want them to get the proper amount of protein, and they're not going to eat fish, and you want them to have a properly balanced diet, can you feed children meat? So interestingly, while the Shulchan doesn't discuss the favorites, what to do with children and meat, that comment of Rama leads all the person to try and figure out that comment of Rama about the Havdalah wine, giving the kid the Havdalah wine if he's still awake, is what leads all the person into the discussion of what to do with meat for kids during the 9 days. So there are three sheetahs that I'm aware of. Number one, the mother of Ram in source number 22 writes that from this Ramah, Mashmu de Mutu Lithin Latino Fox of the Yadin Bishabasu. It's not so that you're allowed to give a child during this week, during the 9 days, the meat and the wine, to make Karalu Nalu Isla Hakmer Bitino. Because the whole idea of not eating meat and not drinking wine is a minhag. They weren't knowing this chumrah on children. We're knowing this chumrah for ourselves. We don't add on to the chumrah and to include children as well. And then he just adds, that's provided that the child doesn't know what it means to have a vezel in Yerushalayim. Or if the child understands a little bit about what a korban avayis means, he's already 6, 7, 8 years old, and he understands a little bit about a korban avayis, and he's able to understand, and there's an idea of chinuch with him, to train him in the korban avayis. So already at that age, even the Magen Avraham says that you shouldn't give the child meat. But before that age, Magen Avraham sounds pretty clear that based on the shamah, you obviously are giving the wine to the child. You can give meat to a child as long as he's not yet of age to understand the korban avayis. And Mishra Berurah, however, has a different take. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 23 says no. He says Shagil Mishnah Berurah source number 23. Yeah, he says Shagil says Yishta Rova goes v'dafte in lo higia adayim l'sav Yishlaim v'dafte b'zesha u'mitzvah. Not only does it have to be a child who's not yet at the age of Fina, it's only by Havdalah, because by Havdalah there's a mitzvah of Havdalah. That's why the kid's allowed to drink the wine. Abel v'lo mitzvah. Afsha eini avel l'sav alosim v'vot v'yayim shubari. Even if he doesn't know how to be misabel in Yerushalayim, you can't give a kid to drink wine or to eat meat during the 9 days. So the Mishnah Berurah takes a much more strict stance. The Mishnah Berurah, they have the two extremes. Magen Avraham says, any kid under the age of, let's say, 6, 7, or 8, you're allowed to give the meat or wine to without asking any questions. Mishnah Berurah says, if it's a generally healthy child, and there's no tzoret mitzvah for it, so absolutely not, you're not allowed to give the child. The Baruch HaShulchan just adds in, and what the Mishnah Berurah really alludes to, but the Baruch HaShulchan adds in, that if the child needs it for health reasons, and again, it's unclear exactly how to determine what you call needs it for health reasons, meaning you want to make sure that the child's been eating only noodles for the last 5 days, so you want to make sure they get a little something else in their diet. So is that a health reason? Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to imagine exactly what the health reason. But because you have the mother and home to be stomach on, it's always going to be maker, so I would be very liberal in my definition of a health reason for a child, because it's not, A, because it's a kid, and B, you know, so you never go wrong being a little more maker for children, and B, you always have the mother and home, also you don't even have to ask any questions. So if a child, as you see, is not having a balanced diet and needs a little bit of protein and is not going to eat any fish, so maybe it's kedai to give the kid some meat, or chicken preferably. Better to give chicken than to give meat. That's another chiluk the post can point out. The chicken is, the Magen Avraham himself said, that in the case of tzoret, even for an adult, we're trying to be making the chicken first before meat. Because Eitzim Chol Zabasar really refers to Basar HaKabalos, which was the basar of it was meat, it wasn't chicken. So he said it's better to try chicken first. Now in terms of the Havdalah wine, the Aruch HaShulchan says the reason why you're allowed to give the child that bella wine, even though the child, in his view, is not really consulting, he's not really allowed to have bella for the yayin, is not because it's only so mitzvah. Forget about that. It's even mitzvah for the adult, right? The very next word in the Ramah is if the kid is sleeping, so the adult can take it. So it wasn't even answer there. So if it's not really answer for you, of course you can give it to the kid. But there are chashuv, but again, in general, says try not to give to the child, unless it's for a health purpose. And I would just suggest that our definition of health purposes should be a pretty liberal definition. We should, if kid needs to have a little bit of play sugars under the age of 6 or 7, to let the kid have some play sugars, certainly during the 9 day. Now, it happens to be imitation. Yes, so this is my post in the post. And there are those who held that no. There are those who held that that it's better to make havdalah on Sharmashkin. Meaning Baruch HaShulchan, it's actually in the Maran Mekomos, Baruch HaShulchan, source number 24, writes that it's better to use sheikh or better to use beer or something like that, rather than wine. But I don't think many of the other posts can disagree with that. They say that no, because the dinner of Havdalah is that it should be with yayin, meaning there is a sheikh in Poskim, from the Havdalah shul, and there's a sheikh in Poskim that there's no such thing as Chamar Medina unless wine is unavailable. But something only gains the status of Chamar Medina when wine is not available. Now, to at least be kosher for that sheikh, I think it's worthwhile. For a minhag, meaning what are you going to be kosher for? A halacha that maybe this isn't even a kosher bracha? Or are you going to be kosher for a minhag of not drinking wine during 9 days? Even when everyone's molded, that would start with mitzvah smoother. Meaning that for ourselves, which I think it's better to make up all in one.
Wine isn't available.
I'm sorry?
I think it's
not called Kamar Medina in general society. Meaning, but it is, you can't even say that because it's mutter. Meaning it's mutter to drink it. Meaning there happens to be this minute that you don't drink it absent the mitzvah. So even in a mitzvah you can say it's not available until it's a stretch. So probably I think the best thing to do is probably to use the wine for Abdullah. Now Rav Avadia has a fascinating tshuva that I alluded to on Shabbos. He has a tshuva, it could be imitation meat, most of the time can eat imitation meat anyway. But he has a fascinating tshuva about a person who owns a restaurant. If you can leave it's a place of restaurant, so can you leave the restaurant open during the 9 days? Now generally the Vav will tell you what they think you can do and what you can't do. So but this person has Rav Avadia, he went above the Vav, wherever it was. I don't know where the restaurant was. It was definitely a restaurant there at Israel, that you can tell from the tshuva. But that was the shayla. Can you leave the restaurant open during the 9 days? So what's the shayla? It's a lefeiver shayla. He's not going to eat the meat, but he's leaving it open and happens to be starting, apparently, according to Ravadi, even starting of the minute not to eat meat during the 9 days. Meaning, that's what the Shofar Rav says, that Yishnoagim were ready for Rosh Chodesh. Apparently, even the Sfarim passed like that Yishnoagim, that they already, even from Rosh Chodesh, they don't eat meat. So the problem is a lefeiver problem. You're going to have people coming into your store buying food that is also to eat during this time of year. But honestly, I just added this Rav Avadia at the end. It's a long, long tshuva at the end of the Maran Mekomos, source number 61. At the end of the Maran Mekomos. So I'm not going to read through the whole tshuva, but in the third paragraph on the page, Rav Avadia points out in the following svara of the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech holds that the idea of meaning, what do we say? The general halacha of listening either. If the person would not be able to violate the yitzur without my help, that's listening either daraisa. If he would be able to violate the yitzur without my help, so it's only Nisayel Zeh Rever, it's only listening either midrabbanon, right? So what is this case? I have a restaurant close place. So is it listening either midaraisa or midrabbanon when he comes in to buy the meat? So right away you would say, well, sure he can do it another way. He can buy meat from the kosher butcher if there's still meat there. He can go to a different restaurant and sell kosher meat. He'll be able to figure out a different way to do it. And so it would only be with favor with Rabbanan. Says Rav Avadia, there is a Mishnah Lamelech. And the Mishnah Lamelech makes the following comment, or the following finish. Mishnah Lamelech says that the idea of not being able to do it on your own means that you can't do it without another Jew's help. Meaning, if you can do it on your own, but you need another Jew to violate this Me'iver to help you to do it, that makes it this Me'iver Daraisa. Meaning, even though the customer has the option to go to the other restaurant, the other Jew's place, that sells the meat during the 9 days, and he has the ability to buy meat that way, but since it involves using a Jew to get the meat, That's called the favor midoraisa. That's called that he can't do it on his own. Can't do it on his own means he can't do it on his own without a Jew's help. That's the chiddush of Mishnah Melech. So Rabbi says, I'm not convinced. This may be an issue of the favor midoraisa. Then he says, no, Mom, this doesn't really work out. Because there's a comment of the Chassan Sofer, somewhere along the line, I don't know, I'm not sure how he's like, he's a grandson, maybe a great-grandson of the Chassan Sofer. Comment of the Chassan Sofer, which if you want to look inside, about 8 lines before the end of the page, on the first page of the Tshuva, where he writes, that the what's the svara of Mishnah Melech? Because you have to assume that every other Jew has a Cheskes Kashrus. A Jew is born with a Cheskes Kashrus, so we assume that he's a good, observant, fine, wonderful Jew. So if he has a Cheskes Kashrus, you have to assume that no other Jew is going to sell him this stuff. And therefore, he has no other way to get it, and therefore goes back to becoming the Sneaker Doraisa. So that's the svara of the Mishnah Melech. The fact that he's able to get it through another Jew, why does that make it, since he can only get it through another Jew, why does that make it with Sneaker Doraisa? Because you have to assume that the other Jew isn't really going to give it to him, because he has a Chesed Kashrus. Says Rav Avadia, you see the guy throws up all day, and he suddenly tells other people, so he has a Chazakah that he sells weekend with my name. And you can't say he has a Chesed Kashrus, that there's a major race on that Chazakah, because he's telling me to anyone who wants to come and buy it during 9 days. So Rav Avadia says, probably over here, you're only in this situation of Misagaya, of Lifneiver Drabanon. Now, the next step Rav Avadia says, Lifneiver Drabanon is only a problem when the issur that you're causing the person to do is an issur d'oraisa. If the issur you're causing the person to do is only an issur d'rabanan, and the Lifneiver Drabanon, then it's mutter to do it. It's mutter to be Misagaya, the day of Rabbeira, when the issur is only allowed to be d'rabanan. Over here, the eating meat during 9 days, it's not even a d'rabanan. It's a minhag, right? So the Rabbi says, may Yitzhar Adin, I think you can leave the store open, and then you see a little bit of motivation in giving this psak. He says, for your parnasa, you can leave it open, you need the parnasa, and he says, oh, but that already doesn't sit so well. For his parnasa, it's just not right. He's going to have people coming in and eating flesh. So the Rabbi says, and besides the fact that people who are coming into your restaurant during the 9 days to eat meat, probably would not go to another Glock kosher restaurant during the 9 days if you were closed. Meaning, it could be you're saving them from an Isra Chamish, you're saving them from eating the Veil of the Faithful by having them come to your establishment, where yes, they're violating the minhag of eating meat during the 9 days, but it saves them from a worse lifneiva, similar to what we mentioned on Shabbos, with the relative lifneiva, right, with the bracha, that there's the lifneiva of not giving the person food because he may not make the bracha, but then there's a worse lifneiva of if you don't give him the food, that'll hate all Jews, that'll think that you're a bit for nothing, that Torah destroys people's derech. Right, that's obviously a worse lifneiva. So Rav Avadia sort of alludes to that. He doesn't really develop the idea the way Rav Shlomo Zalman does, but he sort of alludes to that relative lifneiva. And what about Shabbos leftovers? It's always a big problem. Right, the way many women cook for Shabbos is they don't know how to cook what you need for Shabbos. They cook, you know, enough for Shabbos and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then you throw out the rest. So, maybe different people have different problems. Some after Monday, some after Wednesday, in the dorm it was 3 weeks later. So what do you do Shabbos leftovers? So the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 27, comments that v'afilu basar shayah tzlenu mikodon Rosh Chodesh also l'achol, even if you have meat in your house cooked from before Rosh Chodesh, v'afilu anishom Shabbos, even if you have something left over from Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. He says, you might tell me that the halacha was that when the Jews went into Eretz Yisrael, the Rosh comments in the Sefer Shulim, that they had a basar in the chiro when they went into Eretz Yisrael, which was now not kosher for them, and the Rosh says that the Gemara's whole comment, whether they're allowed to, a whole discussion, whether they were allowed to eat it upon entering Eretz Yisrael or not. So he says that's not really nogea to hear, because, the Rosh comments, that why is that nogea lemaisa to know whether they can eat it or not, because if a person takes a nedah, then you should know that, let's say I take a nedah, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. So, what about meat that I had cooked already from beforehand? Can I eat that meat? So the Rosh says, nafkamina is, were they allowed to eat this meat when they went into Eretz Yisrael without the proper shtikl? So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it's not a parallel to here. Because over there, it's a personal nether, so there's nothing to talk about. Over here, it's a nether of the rabbin, it's a min of the whole Kal Yisrael. So there's nothing to talk about. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to have leftovers during the 2 weeks. Maybe better to feed it to the younger children. I don't know. I meant the 9 days. I misspoke. During the 9 days. Now, the eating meat and drinking wine for Sudas Mitzvah. So this is the famous heter that people try to have, to be able to have at least some fish, then it's not to have to go a whole week without eating any meat, especially nowadays it takes you from, you know, Shabbos to Shabbos, you know, to go without eating anything fish. So to what extent can we rely on Sudas Mitzvah, and what constitutes the Sudas Mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch passes very clearly that I'm not right. Source number 29, Ubisudas Mitzvah Kigon, give an example. Mila, Pidyon HaBen, Siyum Masechas, Sudas Erusin. All these things are Sudas Mitzvah, and you're allowed to have meat during these open buses, Shosim Yain, Kol Sheyachim Masudah. Whoever shayeth to that Sudah could eat meat. Aval, Yesh Mutsamtim Shalala Hosim. Don't go overboard. You know, don't suddenly decide that you're gonna, you know, that the whole world is invited to your child's bris so that everyone could have buffer. You know, it's not the time to go overboard and to invite too many guests. Now, the post can discuss exactly what it means to go overboard. So the Taz writes that anyone who you would not otherwise invite should not be invited. If you're not going to invite a person normally to your child's bris or to the Pidyon HaBen or to whatever it may be, so you're not allowed to invite. I'm leaving one out intentionally because we'll discuss it in a second. But if you wouldn't normally invite a person to that particular simcha, so they should not be allowed to participate in that simcha. It says, Adra the Taz even says stronger. He says, if it's someone that is holkum sham rak lishtos, the person is going specifically to drink wine, ubalavati lovo you holkum, they wouldn't have gone otherwise. Habli mitzvah babaveira. He says, mitzvah babaveira. You think you're participating in a sudas mitzvah? It's not a sudas mitzvah. It's not there to go. You have no business going around and trying to find a hetter to be able to go to these to the simcha. Now, what about a mila? I'll get back to the theme in a second. What about a mila shalot ismanos? An interesting comment to the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva discusses what happens when you have a baby who's born and the baby's not ready for a bris. Mila ismanos is not ready for a bris in the right time. So you have to postpone the bris anyway. So can you just postpone it till 9 days and then have some pleasure? Right? Or you have to do the bris right away. So the Shari Tshuva has some very, very strong words about this. First of all, he says, if the baby's ready during the 9 days, and his mom is ready during the 9 days, so there's some person that thought that you still shouldn't do it. You still shouldn't have bottle at the Suda. You should give the meal, but another bottle. Churches says, no, that's not true. Because the meal during whenever the baby's ready, it's just as much of a simple as then you have a meal, and you're allowed to have bottle. But to postpone a meal, to postpone a mitzvah of any kind, just so you can have a little bit of flesh, so he has very strong words about this. He says that's absolutely out of the question, and that's for sure going to be. That's for sure going to be awesome. The similar discussion comes up with Erev Pesach, postponing the Mila to get the Bechor out of the fast. And Erev Pesach also is supposed to take a very strong stance. It's poured together. It's something that's terrible to do. You're not allowed to postpone a mitzvah when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. I'm reminded I was once at a bris where the mila was not able to be done with man, and it was done in the middle of the week on a weekday. And the mole got up before the bris, and the mole said, the mole is a crone, and he said, you should know that the parents of this child had every reason to make excuses to make the meal on a Sunday. You know, it's always more convenient for people, a little more expensive, but always more convenient for people to make the mila on a Sunday. But it's to their great credit that as soon as the baby was ready, they went and they did the bris mila. And that's what you're supposed to do. You go right ahead and you do the mitzvah, you don't try to delay any sort of mitzvah. And it's a very impressive thing. It's something that made an impression on me at the time, and it's something that the post can obviously, it resonates with the post team. Yeah. Yeah, now Erisin is mutter during the 9. That's what the Rav points out in his figuring how Shloshim equals the 9 days and Yibbe Kodesh. Right, so he says there are two exceptions. One of them is Erisin. Erisin is often during Avelos of Shloshim, but it's mutter even during 9 days in Shlosh Chavod and Tishba, because Shani Yikad Menem Aser. Right, the Rav has a different explanation of why it's mutter, you know, we're not going to get into it right now. So that's one of the two exceptions. The other exception is doing laundry. Doing the laundry, actually washing the clothing, is mutter during Shloshim, usher during the 9 days. And he says, because the idea of the Avelus during the 9 days is an idea of Hesach Hadas, that we're trying to focus on Korban. And when you do things that take a lot of time, maso matzen, doing business, as Rav had the comment, that a person doesn't become a rich businessman 15 minutes a day, just like you don't become a big Talmud Chacham learning 15 minutes a day. Like, doing business is a time-consuming thing. When it takes over you, and it takes over your attention, that destroys what the 3 weeks is all about, what the 9 days is all about. The 9 days is about shifting the focus to try to bring something that naturally is not really at the center of your attention, which is the Churban, naturally you don't really think about it that much, and try to bring it to the center of your attention. That's what it's all about. When it comes to losing a car, the Rav says, you don't have to do any work to make something, make you pay attention to it. That naturally comes. It hits you like a ton of bricks. You feel the pain, you feel the avelus. So we're not worried about Kafka Chadash when it comes to the avelus of the Yachid, when it comes to this avelus of Klal Yisrael for the Korban. We're worried about Kafka Chadash. That's why the laundry is awesome. He also uses along those lines to explain the different scenarios, and I don't have it 100%, so I'm not going to say it over. In terms of Sudas Mitzvah, there's a big discussion about a Bar Mitzvah. Is a Bar Mitzvah Sudas Mitzvah? So one Rav has a comment in Simur Reish Chasei that a Bar Mitzvah is a Sudas Mitzvah, the Bar Mitzvah boy Darshins. But intuitively, we probably figure that out. What's of interest, though, is one Rav quotes a comment of Yamshel Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo describes why is a Bar Mitzvah a Sudas Mitzvah, and he seems to give two reasons. He doesn't say va'od, but he seems to give two reasons. First, he says, it's a great simcha, the kid's about to do mitzvahs. It's a wonderful thing, he's five mitzvahs now. Then he says, va'av zacha shegidol adatolach niso b'bris ha'tara b'klola. The father was zacha, and now he's prepared the child to be on his own. So some of the achronim understand that what you see from the Yamshel Shlomo is that it's sort of like a siyum, that a bar mitzvah is a siyum on the mitzvah of chinuch. That the father has successfully completed his mitzvah of chinuch, and on the gomer shel mitzvah, not just the child's simcha, the father's simcha, on completing the mitzvah of chinuch, he makes the sudas mitzvah to where we're allowed to have basar during the 9 days even, because that's the sudas mitzvah. Now, why that is of a particular interest, obviously, is as it relates to a siyum. We once discussed on Friday night, I think, about where a siyum comes from. Your father asked me about that, he's just kind of talking now. Now, where the idea of the siyum comes from. We pointed out that the Rashbam, says that it is the source for making a siyum, and has nothing to do with learning. The Rashbam Bel Basra seems to be talking about finishing a particular mitzvah, preparing the eitzim for the ma'arach, preparing certain wood for the mizbeach, or whatever they needed the eitzim for in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the source of the siyum. What does that have to do with the siyum? Because you've completed something. You've completed a davar chashuv, you've completed a mitzvah. So it's worthy of making a siyum for the completion of a mitzvah. So this Shailus Yitzchubas on Parkakta Da'anya, who I wasn't sure who it was, so I included a brief biography of him from the Bar Ilan TV in one of these pages, you'll find it, the English writing, writes that he was misukkah. What about finishing any other mitzvah? Done. He finished a mitzvah. Is it worthy of making, of eating meat during the 9 days when you finish a mitzvah? So he says that he thinks that maybe you can say that it's not just any mitzvah that you finish. That it dafka has to be something that has to do with Talmud Torah, that prepares a person to learn Torah, or at least for limud shemegin today ma'isa. So he says, for a siyum sechus, yes, it's fine. With the eitzim that they prepared for ma'aracha, you know why it was such a great siyum? Because they had to be mevatel their Talmud Torah while they were working to make sure they had the proper wood. Now that they have it, they can get back to their learning. That's the great simple, going back to the learning. So it's unclear, by the bar mitzvah, it's unclear whether you say that this is something, maybe it's because it's a new beginning of limud shemegin today ma'isa, this whole life of ma'isa, which is the whole point of the limud, that perhaps it would be enough of a reason to make a siyum for. Now, in terms of who you're allowed to invite to the siyum, so the minig is, if you've ever been to a summer camp, the whole world is invited to the siyum. You never met the guy, you don't know the guy, he learns in the camp's kolo and never comes out of there, and no one ever sees him, and he comes out once a summer to make the siyum for the camp, and it's worth having the kolo. So is that okay? So we already saw the Tav says for other simchas, that's not okay, you're not allowed to do that. But it seems that when it comes to the siyum sechus, the post will be much more nasal. First of all, they quote in the name of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe holds that in general, in a camp setting, or in a bungalow setting, everyone's invited to everything. So in general, it's more of a close-in community, so it's not it's hard to say that it's someone you wouldn't normally invite. Yeah, if you were still in the city and you were making a scene, you wouldn't invite them. But we can't, we're never going to do anything. Everyone's invited to everything. They make a big deal out of everything. They announce it over the loudspeaker, so he thinks that's enough of a reason. Others say that Torah specifically is such a great zuchus that participating in that is something that's open to everybody. That when it comes to the other mitzvot, so only invite those who you would normally invite. But when it comes to the seum, you can invite anybody. So that it seems to be people are so mechon. What about what do you have to learn to be able to make a seum during the 9 days? So that's not so pashut. So the Mishnah Berurah says, don't speed up your learning to make a seum during the 9 days. They post and quote that there are some people who bedak to start learning something just to finish it during the 9 days. The Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting lesson about this. The Aruch HaShulchan, source number 37, he says, "Vidah sheyeshem anich ma'asiyum masechet al yamim elu." There are some people who don't make the seum until the 9 days, because they left a buffer in order that they should be able to eat meat during the 9 days. You ever heard of such people? Right? He says, "Vidah v'machor." He said, "It's disgusting to do such a thing." He says, "No, we don't delay the seum." And then 2 months later, he says, "V'yesh shalom v'machatilu masechet kidding la'atosim yamim elu." That only learn so that they can make a scene. Not only when they're learning do they postpone the scene, they only start to learn the Masechta just so they can make a scene during the 9 days. He says, the Dover Zeh, he says, extra could I last so shall the day of the Torah. Maybe it's worthwhile to tell people to do that just because otherwise they wouldn't be learning at all, so at least you get them involved in Talmud Torah. But miu ein levake shall see him rak Talmud Chacham HaShayachim l'limit HaTorah. If you want someone who's going to make a scene for you and you want to do it right, find someone who spends his days in Talmud Torah, who's constantly involved in Talmud Torah, and who this is a real scene for. He says, "Varnachu lo nahadnu b'siyum." He says, "Our minhag is not to make a siyum." "Va'afilu kishenyera siyum v'yomim elu." This I can believe. He says, "And even if you happen to finish something during the 9 days, onu ma'anich na'siyum anachat tishubav, k'day shenuchal l'smach b'sifak v'siyum, l'tvod ha'tore f'roi." He says, "We leave the same siyum for after tishubav, because that's when you can really experience the simcha." He says, "Even if someone finishes himself during the 9 days, then it's to save the siyum for afterwards." And you know, for someone to get through the 9 days, but to get away from them, that will do. Now, we obviously don't have that many. We don't have to like that. But it just gives you a little bit of an inkling into how serious the siyum should be. It should be a real, legitimate, and serious siyum. From Shlomo Kluger was asked about finishing a Masechta Mishnayos and how well you have to know things. So he says that when you learn just to make a seum, he's not such a big fan. He doesn't think that you should do it. But he says that if you learn Mishnayos just to make a seum, you can't make a seum. But if you learn a Masechta of Gemara, even if it was just to make a seum, close. You got a Masechta of Gemara under your belt, so he thinks that that's enough to be able to make a scene, to be able to supply to people and be able to eat during the 9 days. Now, how well you have to learn, that's very difficult to be mounted also. How you can define, everyone has a different level of learning, different skill level. So some say, well, you have to know it, you have to at least know Gemara Rashi. Others say, know Gemara Rashi, or have learned Gemara Rashi, have understood it once. Unclear. You learn it. You learn it like you learn. Hopefully you're okay. You can't really give a good answer to this. Just the two of the most Nogea Lamaisa aspects, because we're not going to get to everything, the two of the most Nogea Lamaisa aspects that I just want to make sure we touch upon. The reason I asked my father to get Rosh Hashanah, to get a Pesach from Rosh Hashanah, is I looked through the postim on showering during the 9 days. And looking through the books, it didn't look good. You know, showering seemed that it was also the Shulchan Aruch says it's also in even the Tzonim, even the cold water, it's also 9 days. It's a long time to go without a shower. So even if you can do it for showers, it's still, it's a long time to go without a shower. And even if you can make the Tzonim, still it's a little bit, you know, still very hard. I mean, even if you make the Tzonim, wasn't so passionate. So, Rav Moshe points out, other folks can point out, even earlier than Rav Moshe, that if you're sweating, and it's very hot outside, you're sweating from the subway or whatever, and walking, and then you could take a cold shower to wash off the sweat. But otherwise, no, you shouldn't take a shower. So that's why I needed to speak to a chapter. So when I got the phone, I asked him about the showering, and he said, the feet of Salvatrix Shita. So what's the Shulchan Aruch saying? The Shulchan Aruch passed that you're not allowed to shower during the 9 days. Why? Shulchan Aruch assumes, like our Salvation said, that 9 days equals Shloshim. Right? The Shulchan Aruch happens to pass in Hilchos Aveilus that you don't shower during Shloshim. I promise you, you've probably never met a person who didn't shower for the entire Shloshim. It's clearly not our minhag, meaning that there were minhagim in the Rishonim not to shower during Shloshim. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, yes, that may have been the minhag, and that's what was driving the Shulchan Aruch in the first place, to write that halacha, and that's what led him to write that halacha over here also. But the minhag is clearly not that way. People shower as soon as Shiva is over, they go and they take a shower. They take hot showers as soon as Shiva is over. So Rav Shaktan said he thinks it's mutter to take a hot shower even during the 9 days, but Shavuot Shachat, he was on a plane, we didn't have a long discussion, but it sounded that if Shavuot Shachat bo Tisha B'Av, it shouldn't be so mutter, because that's the Rebbe maybe has a more intense thing. I don't know if that's been a shiva exactly. Tishba itself has been a shiva, but that maybe has a slightly more intense din. But it's certainly during the 9 days, so he thought it should be mutter to shower with warm water. And he also said it would be mutter to shave in 3 weeks. So certain coolers I'll take. Others I'll take with what I was doing before. In terms of doing laundry, this is also very much nogel and maisa. When it comes to doing laundry. So the halakha is in Shulchan Aruch, they're not allowed to do laundry, and I pointed out to you before, our salvation's explanation that the laundry involves, doing the laundry involves a hesach hadav. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch it says, Mar writes that if you have to do laundry, let's say for a child, so do it as little as you need. Right? If the child needs, you think he's going to need two more shirts, so wash two shirts. So the post can point out, the later post can, that it's in the Rav, and it's true, this, and the Baruch Moshe points out, that when is that, and this relates very much to what the Salvation said, what is to do the laundry? It's that it involves so much effort. And the effort and time that it takes is going to distract you. So that's when it made sense, when it would go down to the river with the shirt, and each shirt had to be scrubbed separately and washed separately and soaked in detergent separately. So of course there's a much bigger tircha to do more shirts than to do less shirts, and you try to minimize it as much as possible. Because as Mama said, what do? You put in the load, you fill the washing machine, and you push the button. So it's the same tircha whether you're washing two shirts or if you're washing a lot of shirts. So he said, better to be on the safe side and throw in a few extra, you won't have the excessive tircha, and you'll be able to make sure you have enough for the child. Now, for a child, it's mutter. I mean, for a child who constantly gets dirty, or even if it's an adult who constantly gets dirty, for something that if you're constantly getting dirty and you have no clean clothes, so it's mutter to make sure you have something clean to wear. So that's why undershirts and underwear and socks, as the post can say, if you don't have any fresh ones, then you can wash the ones that you have in order to wear them. And you're allowed to wear fresh ones during the 9 days with things that constantly get dirty like that. But shirts and pants and things like that, A, you shouldn't do the laundry, and B, the separate is not to wear fresh clothing during the freshly laundered clothing during the 9 days. Now that the post can take pretty seriously, meaning it doesn't mean your clothing can't be clean. Your clothing has to be clean. If it's dirty, you'll have to wash it. But it means it can't have that fresh, crisp feel that when you take your shirt back from the dry cleaners, so for the first 20 minutes, half hour that you're wearing it, you feel the starch in it. If you get your shirt starched, so you feel the certain crispness to it. So try to take out that crispness before the 9 days. This is my fourth shirt today. Not because I'm preparing for the 9 days. When you're home, you can do this. Right, but ideally, that's what it is. If you can come to the bathroom in one shirt and then change right after, and then in half-hour increments, during the night time, and prepare things for the 9 days. Ideally, that's what should be done. That crisp new feeling that you get when you put on fresh clothing. The post in Shulchan Aruch, it's not me. Shulchan Aruch says that it's also. Also, Shulchan Aruch says that there are bed sheets are also problematic. To change constantly. So the post can discuss if you haven't guessed. So in that case, obviously, to change the sheets if you haven't guessed. Or if someone actually asked the child, if you go to a hotel, should we tell them to leave it? You don't do that. You make sure that, you should tell them, I think Mr. Zipka says, when you go to the hotel, make sure they change it before you go in. But if you're staying there for a few days, maybe you can tell them not to change it while you're there. That you should try to do. A lot of the hotels now to be politically correct have a little thing where you can check off the thing that we're offering to do your laundry every day, but you're killing the economy. Not the economy. You're killing the environment. So you can. So why don't you be a nice guy and volunteer, not to have your sheets cleaned every day? When you go to the hotel, you check that off. So for the 9 days at least, so that you won't have a problem. Again, we didn't get to everything, but I think we got to the primary issues. If anyone has any particular challenge, please do not hesitate to ask.
So I see them regarding bright hands.
Yeah, anything that takes out the freshness. It should feel that freshness. Step on, crumble up a little bit, then it will increase it. Just wear it for a half hour, won't really do that much to it, if you have time to do that.
Well, yeah, you have to wear it for a night. So the other stuff is very important.